Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Hello, you're listening to Earth Matters, earthmatters.org.au on the Community Radio Network, bringing you environmental and social justice stories. I'm Nikki Stott. Today on the show, Donna Jackson, Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation spokesperson and co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, Nectaria Kalan, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance committee member and Friends of the Earth Adelaide worker, and Auntie Sandra Onus, Gunditjmara elder and spokesperson for the Wungut Traditional Owners Corporation, on last month's dismissal of Arabana elder Uncle Kevin Buzzacott's challenge of the federal court approval of BHP Billiton's Olympic Dam uranium mine expansion in occupied South Australia on Arabana Nation country, and how BHP and the federal government are seeking costs from Uncle Kev, who is an elderly pensioner. And later in the show, Auntie Sandra with an update from the Portland Aboriginal Tent Embassy, which was started in February this year. But now, here's Donna Jackson.
AMPA fully supports Uncle Kev. He's our honorary president, and he comes to every AMPA meeting and is always very inspirational to the AMPA group for what he says and what he does, and kind of sets the bar for the rest of us to follow. The expansion, once it's up and running, will mean a one-mile train a day coming in from South Australia to Darwin. That will be carrying copper concentrate, obviously, with uranium in it. And that train has to turn around and go back empty, basically, to get the next load. So, effectively, it's 2 one-mile long trains a day. And there's issues in terms of it cuts the town in half. People have to wait on one side of the tracks for 10 minutes for that train to go by. And if someone's having a medical emergency, they will be stuck on the other side of the track waiting for that train to get through. The Darwin end, they plan to build a storage facility here on our harbour so that if the boats are not ready to be loaded up with that 1 mile train a day, there's going to be a big stockpile of copper concentrate containing uranium right on the edge of our harbour. Now, those approvals haven't been given yet, and yet the federal government and the SA government have approved the expansion. So in terms of where our next legal challenge may be, it would probably be at this end of the transport route because those approvals haven't been given yet by our government. I'm not expecting that they won't give those approvals because they will fall in line with their federal...
And that's Larrakia Nation that will be...
That's right, yeah, Larrakia Nation and Larrakia Land, that stuff will end up on. In terms of the tailings dams, once the mine is operational, it's absolutely staggering. It will be 4 kilometres long, 3 kilometres wide and 1 kilometre deep. And that will be filled with radioactive sludge and wastewater that's gone through the mill that's come out of the artesian basin. So we're basically creating an inland lake of radioactive sludge and water.
And that's
not just the radioactivity, it's the heavy metals that get washed out in the same process. So.
The judge dismissed the application. He dismissed all 4 of our grounds. And then BHP and the federal government have now applied for costs from Uncle Kevin. We have just finished our applications arguing why Uncle Kevin shouldn't have to pay costs.
Oh, so we're still waiting to find out about whether or not Uncle Kev has to pay costs.
Yeah, BHP and the federal government are making the submissions in the next week.
Nectaria Kalan, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance committee member and Friends of the Earth Adelaide worker.
The judge may make a cost order, and if he makes this cost order, that means Uncle Kevin will have to pay costs. If BHP and the federal government pursue it, they still have a choice after that, as I understand it. They have to go through a process of making an estimate of their costs, which then we will have a chance to consider and dispute to a degree, and there might be a bit of back and forth before the judge makes a final ruling. There were basically 3 parties to the proceedings, aside from Uncle Kevin, and that was the federal government, state government and BHP. So even though their legal challenge was against the federal environment minister's approval, both BHP and the state government had sought to become a part of the proceedings, but the state government was sort of joined to the proceedings on the condition that they couldn't apply for costs, and so it was only open to the federal government and BHP to apply for them. So they'll be making separate submissions, and the judge will then rule whether or not... He may make 2 separate rulings, but it's all just part of the same process, so it will all be done on the same day, I assume.
I guess the aim of that is not that BHP are struggling to pay their own costs as well, is it?
Yeah, my interpretation is that exactly. They certainly don't need the money. I guess really they're sending out a message that, you know, if you challenge the mining giant, there will be repercussions.
We're concerned that it sends a message to anyone who wants to take on one of these mining companies for, you know, basically getting all the boxes ticked by the federal government and by the state governments that, you know, don't take them on. You could end up losing your house, losing your car, you know, for those that actually have those things. It's a real deterrent for anyone to be able to stand up and say something. There should be an exemption from costs because these companies and the government certainly don't need to take money from Uncle Kev. He's a pensioner.
Donna Jackson, Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation spokesperson and co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance.
I know sort of that court case is sort of done and dusted now, but I still, I can't even, because you were there for most of it, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the court for both days.
Nectaria Kalan, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance Committee member and Friends of the Earth Adelaide worker.
So, because what was going on was that Uncle Kev and the EDO were arguing that the environmental issues weren't considered in depth, and especially for me, the one that stands out is the issue of the tailings. Was that discussed in much detail?
The argument that was made was that the environmental impact of the above-ground storage of tailings after the mine's closure wasn't properly considered for the full time frame. So Uncle Kevin's barrister argued that the minister should have properly considered the issue of above-ground storage of tailings up to 10,000 years and then also beyond 10,000 years. A condition of the approval is that BHP produce a long-term safety assessment assessing the impact both to the environment and to the public of the above-ground storage of tailings up to 10,000 years. So the argument was that if this isn't a condition attached to the approval, it's essentially an afterthought, and it wasn't, this should have been considered beforehand.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is, why are they doing, I mean, this doesn't just relate simply to a management plan that, you know, can be attached afterwards. This is a condition to assess the long-term impact. Now, shouldn't this impact have been assessed before the mine was approved? Now, this wasn't discussed so much in the court, but certainly the issue of the timeframes was. So that was one aspect of the argument, that this is an afterthought, the consideration up to 10,000 years, implying that something less than 10,000 years was considered. And then the second part of the argument was that the minister should have also considered beyond 10,000 years, given that some radioactive isotopes have half-lives of, you know, over a billion years. And what the judge actually ruled in his judgment was that it's an artificial distinction, which I find quite irresponsible. It's an artificial distinction because there are such long time frames to distinguish between a time frame of up to 10,000 years or a time frame beyond 10,000 years. And of course, for humans, it is quite abstract, but it does raise the question as to why we are mining radioactive isotopes with such long half-lives. If the amount of time we are responsible for taking care of the waste products from such mines is in such an abstract concept that we can't even begin to imagine it. In the EIS, uranium-235, which is contained in uranium ore, has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. So the judge acknowledges this and then says it's an artificial distinction to differentiate between up to 10,000 years or beyond 10,000 years. To quote him, they're both very long periods, and to draw a distinction would be artificial. For sure, it is kind of meaningless to humans, which really just highlights why we shouldn't be approving such projects then. If to us it's meaningless that we need to then be responsible for the tailings for so long, if that's a meaningless concept...
Then what the hell are we doing?
What are we doing, exactly?
Yeah.
There's a very quick decision for this kind of a decision to be made. The judge made his decision 2 weeks after the hearing, and he had a massive amount of information to consider. The EIS is massive, just to start with. He had to consider submissions by, you know, four different parties, Uncle Kevin, the Federal Environment Minister, the state government, and BHP, and he made his decision in 2 weeks.
It's depressing stuff, isn't it? And how long is it till we find out about whether Uncle Kev will or will not have to pay costs?
I've been told it's going to be a private hearing, so it won't be open to the public. I would say in the next few weeks the judge will make a decision as to whether costs should be paid.
And so next up, we've got a new application which is currently being lodged to the Supreme Court to challenge the state, as in the South Australian state, approval of the dam expansion. Is that right?
Yeah, that's in its early stages. We're really still in the stage of the judge giving directions to the different parties, but it's very similar in a sense. We will be challenging the state approval of the expansion.
So you were in Melbourne last weekend for the fundraiser for Lizard's Revenge. What are your thoughts on how that night went?
I think it was extremely successful. We didn't expect that amount of people. It was packed. We had a number of bands playing. And I really hope that that will translate into people coming out to the desert. It's an indication of how much the word's got out about the Lizard's Revenge, though. So it's definitely a very positive sign that the word's getting out there and that people support the event and hopefully will come out.
Auntie Sandra Onus, Gunditjmara Elder and spokesperson for the Whanggut Traditional Owners Corporation.
And this BHP Billiton, the biggest uranium storage facility, the nuclear dump waste, and the open cut copper mine, in an area that has a history of earthquakes, is totally insane, and one of the biggest dangers to not only the Australian nation as a whole, but to the wider worldwide community, and certainly the waterways, in terms of the after effects can go on for tens of thousands of years, the nuclear fallout. It's about the effects of the environment, in the first instance, Aboriginal culture, flora and fauna, intellectual property, cultural property, all those reasons. But the bigger picture, the destruction of mankind, because at the end of the day, the reality is that it is not good for the environment, no good for any of us. And no matter how much money they make out of it, what are you going to buy with money if you've got a dead sea and a country that's been denuded of the wildlife and everything else that goes with it, flora and fauna. And, I mean, it sounds like the end of the world, but in reality, I suppose, it is. It is the beginnings or a part of what makes up the catastrophes like the greenhouse effect and all the rest of it. And for government to even be allowed to go ahead with this insanity, this madness is wrong. And the Australian people are the ones that need to stand up now to government and start thinking about their future generations and how this is going to impact on them. Chernobyl, Japan and what's happened there, and quite without the real risk of earthquake because of the fact that it is an earthquake-prone area should be enough to just say no go. And every person that really cares about the environment, every person that cares about the future generations, any person who has a respect for land and God and planet, for Mother Nature, and any respect for themselves should be saying no to this catastrophic proposal, and should you all get up there in July for the Lizard's Revenge and make it known. And if they can't get there, ring up government, write letters, send emails, do something. Let it be known that you are totally against this insanity. We've got all our ten images everywhere, but there won't be any of them for long if this madness isn't stopped. And it's not even just BHP Billiton, it's all the other companies that are ripping up the country, like in the Pilbara. With iron ore, you've got Gina Rinehart and other people making heaps of money and wealth out of Aboriginal land. You know, you've got your Alcoas all over the place. The wealth of this country runs off out of Aboriginal people. It's stolen wealth. The economy is running on our money. And we, the traditional owners, get nothing out of it and would want very little out of anything that is going to be of any, bring any illness or any bad things upon the earth. We don't really want to be a part of that anyway. So any money that they're talking about is nothing to us. Money never was anything to Aboriginal people. We're not a society that had to be motivated by money. It didn't exist. We had a barter system and that worked well within the confines of nature. And what's happening now is bad enough, but to allow this madness with BHP, Billiton and a nuclear waste dump is just disgraceful.
You're listening to Earth Matters, earthmatters.org.au on the Community Radio Network, bringing you environmental and social justice stories with Nikki Stott. We've been listening to Donna Jackson, Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation spokesperson and co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, and Nectaria Kalan, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance committee member and Friends of the Earth Adelaide worker, on last month's dismissal of Arabana elder Uncle Kevin Buzzacott's challenge of the federal court approval of BHP Billiton's Olympic Dam uranium mine expansion in occupied South Australia on Arabana Nation country. And coming up next, we have Auntie Sandra Onus, Gunditjmara elder and spokesperson of the Wongut Traditional Owners Corporation, speaking also about the Arabana campaign and Uncle Kevin Buzzacott, and also giving us an update on the Portland Aboriginal Tent Embassy, which was started in February this year.
And of course, the lie that facilitates the situation with BHP and Arabana Nation and in the Pilbara and all around with the mining is native title. And that's one of the main premises the Portland Tent Embassy is based on. This Portland Sovereign Tent Embassy is looking at like the lie of native title and issues with social services.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not addressing what it says it should be. It is actually quite clear throughout the Native Title Act that custom and tradition, that every process is done according to custom and tradition. There's seven High Court judges who sat over or presided over the Mabo judgment and also the Alcoa judgments and were very adamant in their understanding of custom and law or custom and tradition, in that through their definition of it from the dictionary, and the dictionary stated that it is in perpetuity. Custom and tradition and law goes on forever. That has to be respected, and it isn't happening in the Native Title Act. So it does say that in the Act, but it isn't being respected at the end of the process. We feel that in the Native Title outcome has been hijacked. We believe that Native Title Services and other people conspired to deny us natural justice, and we believe this is taking place in many communities because it's expedient for government and lawyers to get a quick resolution or a cheaper resolution they can find. In the meantime, Aboriginal people are still, nothing's changed. It's still the same. And when you think that in the terms of the colonisation of Australia, the invasion, they owe us, as I think it was worked out recently, at $58 trillion in back rent. That's not even counting the theft of our wealth, like gold and diamonds and oil and gas and all the rest of it. There's something really wrong, and it really is, at the end of the day, all about money. It's got to stop. Oh. There's got to be more real outcomes with native title for Indigenous people and traditional owners. At the end of the day, we know who should be paying rent. We know who's got the welfare mentality. It's not Aboriginal people. We're the ones that are ripped off. The ones who are on the welfare are the non-Indigenous people in this country that eat every morsel of food, put a coat on their back. They may work for it too and all that. But at the end of the day, it's all started with stolen wealth. Whilst a lot of people weren't there present at the scene of the crime when Captain Cook landed and whatever else went on after that, they're still living off the proceeds of that crime. And these are the things that people need to understand, that Aboriginal people are the traditional owners and should be given the utmost respect. And we're not talking about people kissing our bums. We're talking about people being honest and having integrity. And it starts with government. That's where it starts. But non-Indigenous people should be saying something as well. They're guilty by their silence. We're not doing it, so we don't really want to know about it. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to really be involved. You know, that's got to stop. Town council's turnaround at the end of the day isn't because they love us. It's because it's a point of law. They're not allowing us to stay. The law is allowing us to stay.
You're talking about the local council, aren't you? Are you, Auntie?
That's right. The Glenelg Shire Council. Now, the Portland Observer, Monday, April 30th, there is an article, Aboriginal Tent Embassy Stays. It's after a month of consulting with lawyers to close the tent embassy. The decision was finalised by councillors behind closed doors. Blah, blah, blah. The Shire concedes that it doesn't have the authority to remove the Indigenous protesters through its local laws, and neither does it wish to proceed without Gunditj Meering Corporation's support. We stated to council that it was not its responsibility to play any role in any possible disbandment of the Portland Tent Embassy. Minutes from the council meeting say there is no quick solution to the problem and the subject of the protest, native title determination, is a state or federal issue. So their reasons for leaving us here have been legal reasons, and I applaud their decision to do that in a transparent way. But I don't applaud their non-assistance in us staying here. There are no ablutions block here. There's no water on this site. No. We're being denied our human rights in that sense. These are issues we will be taking up with council to see what they can do to rectify that. I don't think that we should be having to cart water and hire toilets when every other park in the place has got, well, not every one of them, but most have those facilities. But they're not making it easy, is what I'm saying. I'm not prepared. They're not really being the nice, kind council as people think they are, and I'm not falling for that. They're actually doing it for transparency. They're doing it for... Well, we did negotiate, and I did say to them that they can be a light at the end in the tunnel, in the darkness of our Aboriginal struggle.
Yeah.
And show the rest of the world how you deal with how you should deal with Indigenous people, and it's not just a white way; it's a right way. Because up until now, every protest, every tent embassy has been run through many times by the thuggery of the police and at the behest of councils, town councils, who then when it gets really, the going gets really rough, they pass the buck to the state and the feds.
Yeah, we've seen it with our brothers and sisters in Perth at the Noongar Tent Embassy too.
That's what I said to them. I said that to them. I'd like to see this council stand hand in hand with us and try to come to some sort of a proper agreement. I'm not like the thuggery in Perth or the police and the town council. And, you know, when I talk about the wealth of this country, a lot of most of that money that they're using to pay the wages of those police and the wages of those councillors that take away all their belongings in big trucks, it comes from Aboriginal money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't surprise me in Perth when you've got 40 Ku Klux Klan shops.
Yeah.
In one, you know, doesn't surprise me at all. And it's wrong, and totally wrong. It's morally wrong. We all know it's wrong. They know it's wrong, and they're only doing it because they can.
Because no one's stopping them.
Imagine if there were more Aboriginal people than white people, for example, or non-Indigenous people. That might be a different story.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
There's only one thing, you see, that could be worse than the invasion of our people. Only one thing worse.
What's that?
That we were the invaders. Thank God we don't have that on our conscience, us Aboriginal people.
You've been listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network around Australia with Nikki Stott. This week on the show, Donna Jackson, Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation spokesperson and co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. Nectaria Kalan, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance committee member and Friends of the Earth Adelaide worker. And special guests, Auntie Sandra Onus, Gunditjmara elder and spokesperson for the Wongut Traditional Owners Corporation. On last month's dismissal of Arabana elder Uncle Kevin Buzzacott's challenge of the federal court approval of BHP Billiton's Olympic Dam uranium mine expansion in occupied South Australia on Arabana Nation country, and how BHP and the federal government are seeking costs from Uncle Kev, who is an elderly pensioner. Auntie Sandra also gave us the update on the Portland Aboriginal Tent Embassy, which was started in February this year. The Portland Aboriginal Tent Embassy are trying to get the money together for a silent generator priced at around $1,800. If anyone can help them with that, please ring 0406 133278. Or if anyone can donate or buy the generator in Melbourne for us, we can pick it up if necessary. The tents are getting very cold down there as winter is setting in, but they have vowed to get the power connected somehow. Also canvas, tarps and ropes are needed, not tents. So if you can help with any of that, call 0406 133 278. Portland Aboriginal Tent Embassy and Wongut Traditional Owners Corporation can also be found on Stockbook. If you want to find out about the Lizard's Revenge Music and Art Festival, which will be held at the Olympic Dam Gates of Hell in Roxby Downs in occupied South Australia on Arabana Nation country from the 14th to the 18th of July, go to lizardsrevenge.net. This event can also be found on Stalkbook. Today's podcast and others like it can be downloaded at earthmatters.org.au. Earth Matters would like to thank the good folk at the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their generous financial support and the dedicated peeps at the Community Radio Network for all their hard work in getting this program out to you, our listeners. Earth Matters was produced in the studios at 3CR Radio in Fitzroy, Victoria. Our contact phone is 0394198377 and our email is earthmatters3cr@gmail.com. That's all for today, but next week we continue to bring you the cutting edge of edges on the kind of environmental and social justice news that you won't find anywhere else, no matter how hard you look. Until then, see you later.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.